Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of Valley Grove Baptist Church. We are thankful you stopped by to hear from God's Word, to grow closer to Him, and to be inspired to reach your area of influence.
Oh man, I love seeing each and every one of those kids go out as enthusiastic as they are every week about going to children's church. It is great. All right, if you've got your Bibles, go ahead, and I'm going to give you two scriptures to go ahead and find, then we'll read our memory verse for the month. 2 Corinthians 9, we're going to start there, and then we're going to also read Matthew 28. So 2 Corinthians 9 and Matthew 28 is where we'll kind of land today. as you're finding those, we'll kind of continue where we were, what we were talking about last week. Over the last several weeks, we've kind of started the year off talking about kind of our mission, our vision, what we like to call around here our win, which is moving ourselves and others toward Christ. What that means is we win as a church when you get closer to Jesus and you help someone else get closer to Jesus. And when we do that collectively, we win as a church. And so the first week we talked about moving ourselves closer to Jesus, and we said one of our goals to help us do that this year is to have more people involved in small groups or Sunday school at the end of the year than we did at the beginning of the year. So let me encourage you, if you're not in a Sunday school class, if you're not involved in regularly coming to a small group, let me highly encourage you to do that, because that is where life and faith collide, in my opinion, right? Where you can pray for one another, where you can talk about the Bible, where you can study God's Word together. It's just a great time. So two weeks ago, we talked about moving others closer, helping us move others closer to Jesus. And we said one of the great ways that we have our dispense that I didn't have, actually, even when I was a kid, and that is technology. Most of us have a cell phone. Most of us, I would imagine, have a smartphone. I'm sure there's a few of you that still have flip phones. And there are some days that I wish I could go back to that. But in the next breath, I'm like, no, I really like my smartphone. And there's a lot of things that we can do for good with technology. And that's one of our goals this year is to, as a church, to be more engaged in social media and technology space. Casey and I have feverishly been working on a new website, which hopefully we'll be able to roll out here really soon, and some other things that will help us engage people and hopefully move them closer to Christ. Last week, we talked about giving and how Jesus says, in Matthew, that basically as we give, God gives back to us. And what we said, the verse is, for the measure you use is the measure that would be used back to you, which I interpret that to be the unit of measure. That's an easy way for us to concept. So if you're generous, but it's only in tablespoon measures, don't expect God to give you buckets back, because He's only going to use the measure that you use. Right? So if you want to receive more from the Lord, you have to give more, right? And you have to give to other people, and the way we give to other people is the way God gives back to us. Now today, I want to take that one step further, and I want to talk specifically about how giving relates to the church. Last week, we talked about giving in general and generosity across the board. Today, we're going to hone that down and talk about giving as it relates to the church. All right, but before we do, let's read Genesis 50:20. All right. It's our memory verse for the month of January. It's our last Sunday of this verse. All right, let's go. Genesis 50:20. As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. Genesis 50:20. Very good. All right, when you look at the Bible, there are, across the Bible, there are basically two words that are used within the context of generosity or giving to the Lord's work. Just two. The first one is the word tithe. All right? Tithe. Which in the most basic sense means one-tenth. All right? Everybody clear? One-tenth. The other word is offering. And in the most rudimentary sense, offering means simply to give. Now, in the context, if you put those two words in the context of generosity and giving, the meaning is extended just a little bit further. And a tithe means to give a tenth to God, right? So tithe in general just means tenth, but when we put it in the context of generosity, it means giving a tenth to God. And when we put offering in the context of giving, it means anything that is given to God. And we see that played out across the Old and the New Testament, right? Now, if you want the pastor's version of this, I'll give you my definition of tithe and giving and offering, right? A tithe is a tenth of your income given to the Lord's work, right? So we just, some of you just participated in that when we passed the offering plate. And some of you will participate that in the weeks to come, depending on how your pay scale works, right? And offering is anything given over and above your tithe. So let me kind of cue this up. So Jacob and the teenagers are going to have dinner for us next Sunday, right? That you can give a donation to. Hopefully you'll be generous. But let me tell you what you don't need to do. That's an offering. That should be over and above your tithe, right? So for round numbers, let's say there's two of you and you're going to give them $20, but you normally tithe $100. Don't tithe $80 and give them $20, right? That ain't how an offering is, anything over and above your tithe. So still tithe $100, and then when you were going to go out eat on Friday, save that $20 and you can give it to Jacob. Trust me, it'll be a much more worthwhile cause. See how that works? Tithe is a tenth. Offering is anything and over and above your tithe, all right? So, now, I want to be transparent because that's, you know, how I try to roll. I don't want to, like, sugarcoat or kind of beat around the bush or do whatever, but I want to be transparent with you this morning. All right, listen closely. The New Testament, in the New Testament, both of these words occur throughout the Bible. However, in the New Testament, whether it's Jesus or the other writers of the New Testament, none of them require or command believers to tithe. Listen. Whoa, hey, I didn't know that, right? Paul doesn't say you must give a tenth. Peter doesn't say you must. John doesn't say you must give a tenth. Even Jesus doesn't even say that. So here's the question. Should believers tithe then? Because in your mind right now, which was like mine, as I learned this, I was like, hey, I'm off the hook. Can give 1% and still be faithful to the Lord. Yes, right? Or 0%, right? Yes. All right, so I'm going to give you a statement. I like to listen to, as I've told y'all, YouTube is my friend or my enemy sometimes. But I like to watch sports video, like clips of sports, you know, shows, talk shows or whatever. And so in that realm of interviews and media and all that, this would be what's called a hot take. All right, so I'm going to give you a hot take this morning. All right, listen, in the realm of when the Bible talks about generosity, it is not limited to a tithe, but it is never less than a tithe. Let me say that again. When you speak of biblical generosity, listen carefully, it is much more than just tithing, but it is never less. Let me kind of break that down for you real quickly, because we're going to answer my question, should believers tithe? What that means is tithing is the minimum believers should do in acts of generosity. Everybody clear? That's what I mean. Giving is never less than tithing. That's the starting point for generosity among believers. Let me give you two reasons why I emphatically think believers should tithe. Here's number one. Because it opens God's blessings for your life. Let me read Paul, because I believe Paul, while he doesn't say that we should tithe, in my opinion, he takes it and goes much further than that. Let's read 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 10. Remember this. Now, Paul's writing this to believers. So he's saying, believers, remember this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, they have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. Right. So Paul never mentions tithing specifically, but in my opinion, he goes beyond that. Why? Because he introduces us to what we all know to be true, but he puts it in a spiritual context, and that is the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest. What the law of the harvest basically says, and anybody who's ever planted anything knows this to be true. If you've ever had a garden, if you grew up on a farm, you know this principle intuitively. The principle states, one, whatever seed you put in the ground is what seed comes out of the ground, right? If you want a harvest of corn in June, you need to plant that corn seed in March or April, right? And here's the other thing the law of the harvest says. Not only is it what you plant, you reap, right? But the more you plant, the more you reap, right? You can't plant a row of corn from here to the wall or two or three and expect to get the same harvest if you had a field the entire size of this room planted with corn. That's just not how it works. Now, don't go all this and be, well, in a dry year, it might be true. Don't give me that. No. In a regular year, all right, if you plant three rows from here to the wall, you're not going to get the same harvest as if you had rows from here to the back wall to that wall. That's just not how it works. You can't plant a quarter acre and expect to get a whole acre's worth of harvest. That's just not how it works. And Paul says, listen to me, believers. Tithe, don't tithe, whatever. But I'm telling you, the more you put in the ground, the more you will receive back from the Lord. And the more you sow, the more you will reap. And if you don't want to reap a lot, don't put a lot in the ground. Again, I said this last week, but I'm going to say it again. The misconception with culture today is, I can sow sparingly and yet reap bountifully. That's the lie that we've been told. That is, I just do a little bit, then God will turn that back on me and I'll have all the blessings in the world. That's not the case. And we get all in our feelings and get all uptight because X, Y, and Z person over there, over here seems to have all the blessings from the Lord and we don't. And I don't know all the reasons. But it might be that that person is sowing a whole lot more than you are or I am. And so Paul says, yeah, he doesn't say tithe, right? But he says, just remember, you sow 2%, you can get a return on 2%, right? It's just like a 401k. The more you put in, the more you get back one day. I'm going to be working until I'm 99. Hope Holly has a good retirement, right? That's just how it works. See, some of y'all going to be working y'all 99 too, right? You see what I mean? The more you put in, the more you return. And it's the same way in our spiritual life as well. The more we put in, the more we return. The interesting thing is that Paul says that God is waiting to unload all of these blessings in our life. And I don't mean just monetary, financial blessings, but in general, God is waiting to pour all of these blessings on us. But many times, we're the limiting factor on how much we receive. And I was trying to think of a way, I'm a visual learner, I love pictures and word, and so I was trying to figure out a way this morning as I was looking over my notes of how to, like, what visual picture explains this. You know what I thought? Jelly. Has anybody ever canned jelly? Feel free to raise your hand. Yeah. I love homemade jelly or jam, whichever you prefer. I really like jam because I like, you know, even the blackberry seeds that are annoying, I love them. Just put them all in there, right? We made some peach jam last year, I believe it was. Oh, man. Oh, it's so good. I had some yesterday. I think I had it for breakfast. We had a hodgepodge breakfast. We didn't get up till late, and we ran out of bread. I went to the grocery store. Didn't buy bread, so we had hot dog buns. So it was like, we want toast. So have hot dog buns for toast. It's all bread. It tastes the same. And I slathered, Holly put butter all over, and I slathered homemade peach jam all over. And oh, man, it was delicious. Delicious. But you know, I was thinking about this morning. Now you're right, yeah. Yeah, I try to be quick, right? I remembered how we made that jam. And, you know, you get all of it, and right before you got everything ready, the fruit's cooked down, you've got the pectin and the sugar, and you stirred it all, and you've got all the ingredients in, and you're about to put it in the jar. And I don't know how y'all do it, but how we do it, we went to Walmart, and we found a canning funnel, right? It's green. And that sucker has a opening that's about that big. And you get your ladle, and that jelly just runs straight into that jar. Here's what I thought about. The people who are generous and who so generously are like that canning funnel, there's nothing impeding God's blessings from going down into our lives. But the moments when we are, the times or the seasons, when we are ungenerous, we're not like a canning funnel, but we're like a regular funnel. And our blessing funnel is about that big around. Now, can you imagine, think about this, can you imagine trying to can jelly in a jar using a regular funnel? I thought about it this morning. I'm not sure it would work at all. Because the viscosity of the jelly would stick to the sides, and it would gum up, and it wouldn't go through. And many times, that's what our life is like. We're wondering, and I'm not trying to equate God's blessings to jelly and jam, but my point is, you get the point. A lot of times, we're the limiting factor. Because Paul says here, and Jesus said last week, that the measure which we use is the measure which we return. And we're the ones who are limiting God's blessing in our life because we're not willing to give generously. Our blessing funnel is restricted. And so we're getting a drop at the time versus a monumental flow of jelly at the time, right? However you want to look at it. And so Paul says that one of the things that you can do when you tithe or when you give generously and you sow generously is you are ensuring a God-honoring harvest in your life. So whenever we forego tithing, we are cutting God not only out of our finances, but we are limiting God's blessings in our life. Number two, why should believers tithe? Number two, when you tithe, you're an active part of God's mission. You're an active part of God's mission. I'm going to read a familiar passage. It's often quoted and read. If you haven't heard it, you'll hear it today. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus' last words to his disciples and his followers before he goes back to heaven, ascends back to heaven. And Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Listen to me. When you give, when you tithe, you allow us to fulfill Jesus' mission. You allow us to complete our win, which is just another way of phrasing Jesus' mission. Listen to me. Our goal, listen. Our goal is to complete Jesus' mission, not just keep the doors open. Listen to me. Our goal at Valley Grove is not to just have heat, light, and the doors open. We are about so much more than that. And when you tithe, you allow us to fulfill our mission right here where we are and in our area of influence. Coincidentally, or on the other side of the coin, when you don't tithe, when you aren't generous with your finances in giving to the church, you hinder us from fulfilling our mission and reaching our area of influence. Right? We're about more than keeping the doors open. Now think about this. Jesus could have said anything he wanted to. He literally could have said anything he wanted to. He could have said, "Hey, just keep the doors open to this building that you're going to create one day. Just have the lights on and keep it moderately temperatured, you know, cool in the summer, warm in the winter, and maybe, just maybe, somebody off the streets will wander in, and maybe, just maybe, then they'll know that I love them." No, that ain't what he said, is it? He said, "Go and make disciples." And whether we like it or not, in today's culture, that takes some financial investment. And whenever we, and I'm not trying to be like the boy who cried wolf or be like the alarmist, I just want to tell you the reality. Whenever you don't tithe, not only are you hindering God's work in your own life, you're hindering His work in our area of influence and in your personal area of influence, right? Because I've seen the devastating in my own personal life, in life in the church. I have actually seen the devastating effects of people withholding their tithes on purpose, right? I have seen, it just won't sound crazy, because you're like, how does that work? But I've actually seen people, a group of people, multiple peoples, who've withheld their tithe in a church, and it actually caused the church to go descend into chaos, to put it nicely. But on the other hand, I've seen the overwhelming effects of people's generosity. For more than a decade, I served, y'all know this, for more than a decade, I served in youth ministry. And I cannot tell you how many times I had people come up to me and say, "Hey, listen, Travis, if a kid can't pay for their way to go to the disciple retreat mix, we call it the mix, they need money for summer camp or for that mission trip. You let me know." And so inevitably, we would need money for help a student or just in general to offset the cost, because these things cost thousands of dollars. And I'd go to him and say, "Hey, look, hey, we got a student that needs. How much do you need? How much is it?" I'd say, "Hey, it's $300." $250, $50, whatever it was. Pew, here you go. Or I'll have it to you next week. And then listen to me. Here's the amazing thing. Because I could see it on their faces. Now, they never knew what student they sponsored, right? But when we would get back from whatever event we were at, whether it was a weekend or a week or, mission trip type thing, whenever we get back and we would report all that God had done, and in those moments where God just uniquely blessed and we had 5 or 7 teenagers come to faith in Christ, I could visibly see on the faces of the people who gave, they realized, I made a difference in this kid's life. Now, they didn't know, and it may not have been a kid they sponsored, but I could see in their face. And you know what? I've never had anyone in that who did that. I've never had anyone come back to me and say, "Hey, you know what? That was really just a waste of money. You know, I was really too generous. Next time I'll give you half." Now, you know what happened? They were the first people the next year who came up to me and said, "Hey, look, I want to help with this event again." And you know, I've seen what blessing they received. Did they receive any monetary blessing back? No. But they knew their generosity helped this kid or this young lady or this young man literally transform their lives. Some of whom that we're still in contact with today, still actively serving the Lord because one person decided to give up $50 to help them go on this trip, right? So I've seen both sides of it. So should believers tithe? Absolutely. That should be our starting point. If we're ever going to move ourselves and others toward Christ, frankly, there's got to be some bit of financial investment on your part and on my part and on our part, because we're going to have to do some things that we've got to do or never done, and some of that is going to take money. And I want to be real applicable this morning. So, and again, I'm a visual person, so I have numbers and slides on the screen. So, Ms. Kathy, can you go ahead and put this? I'm going to show you how tithing works and what tithing will look like. All right, here's the screen. You see that in the big number on the screen? $189,150. That's a lot of money, right? Yes, right? Oh, that was loud. Sorry. I've had a cold this week, as y'all can tell. Oh, wow, that was really loud. All right. So that number represents the budget, the total budget that you and I all approved back in November. Now, I know some of you are like, "Well, I didn't know it was that much. I wasn't here." Hey, not my fault, right? That's the number. Here's, and listen to me. I want to be real. I just want to be real this morning. That's the number that we all said we were going to contribute to this year. Now, can I be honest with you for a minute? Last year, about last year, we failed last year. We did the numbers. It was a different number, but the number we said we were going to give last year, that when we raised our hand and said, yes, I approve that budget, because when we approve a budget, that means you're going to be willing to give your money to help meet that number. We didn't make it. And look, y'all, I don't like losing. But and frankly, I've been around too many churches and too many environments that don't care anything about making their budget. And inevitably, whenever I set a goal, I want to win at that goal. And we all agreed that was our goal for this year. Okay? So when we agreed as a church, whether you were here or not, you agreed to be a part of helping us reach that goal. Okay? Now I'm going to show you how this works on maybe a little more individual level. All right, Miss Kathy, go ahead and show me the next number. 54. You see that number? 54. I went back through the roll. Casey printed me off a roll a couple weeks ago or a month ago or whatever. I went back and I counted every family that could give to the church. Now, a family, a giving unit, it says total giving units. That's the total number of families who could give. So you may be a family of one who has one income, or your family may have five individuals, but only one person works, or you may have two incomes. I didn't take that into account. This is not individual givers. This is individual giving families. So for example, Holly and I both work. She has a salary, I have a salary. But together we make up one giving unit. Everybody understand? There's 54. 54. Now, next slide. If you take, we're going to do a little math here this morning. If you take our total budget and divide it by the number of giving units, so you got total budget on the top, number of giving units on the bottom, all right? Here's the number you get. $3,502.86. Here's what that means. That means every giving unit only needs to tithe $3,502.86 this year. If every giving unit, if all 54 of those, would just tithe that much money, we would meet our budget. Now, hold on. Now, remember, a tithe is what? 1/10. Do I have another slide? Did I put this one on another slide? All right, well, we can do this. This is easy. So in order to figure out what the total income would be for someone tithing this amount, you just move that comma over. And so you basically get a total salary for the year of $35,000, and I'm going to round up just to be easy, $35,029. Now, hold on a second. You have in your mind right now whether you make that much a year or not, right? Some of you are going to say, ooh, wait. I don't make that much money. I make less than that. I make significantly less than that. That's okay, because remember, that's average. But some of you know right now, last year, you made way more than that. And some of you know that you together as husband and wife weighed way, 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 way more than that. And some of you probably made right at that. Here's the point. If all of us, listen to me carefully. If all of us would just tithe off what income we make, we would blow the doors off our budget every single year. So why didn't we make our budget last year? It's not going to be harsh. I love all of you dearly, but I'm going to be real with you. Some of you didn't tithe. That's the only conclusion. Some of us didn't tithe. Now, I don't know who it was. I don't care to know who it was. That's between you and the Lord. But I can tell you that biblical generosity is more than just giving, but it is never less than tithing. So if you didn't tithe this year, last year, I highly encourage you to tithe this year. Not just so I can get up here next year and say, hey, we made our budget, yay. No, it's more than that. Because it's more about keeping the doors open, and it's more than about meeting a number. It's so that you can receive all that God wants to pour out in your life, and so that we can do everything we need to do around here to reach our area of influence. See, last year, our budget team asked people to not spend as much because we already knew halfway through the year we weren't going to meet our budget. So there were a lot of people who could have done basic things around here who didn't, right? I'm not talking about extravagant things, basic things, right? And there's two goals. So remember I told you at the beginning of the year there are four goals this year. I've given you two. Here's the other two. Here's the last two. The first two were have more people in Sunday school. The second one was be more engaged in the church on social media and on the intranet. Here's the second two. One, I want us to start a relationship with a church planter or a missionary. And what that means is I want us to be engaged in helping another church who's just getting their feet off the ground to become a church like us who is missionally engaged, who affects our area of influence, and who reaches people through the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we're called to do we're an established church. And our role in the kingdom as an established church is not only to reach disciples, but to help other churches become disciple-making and disciple-reaching churches. And so over the next 2 to 4 years, as we establish this relationship, I'd love for us to help them out with VBS and with basic church revitalization and with projects in their community or whatever they need. But guess what that's going to take? Finances, right? Finances. It's going to take money. Listen, it's going to take money just for us to go up there or go over there or down there or wherever, right? But if we invest in helping another church, that's going to be a financial commitment we're going to have to make. Here's the other thing. Frankly speaking, there are some basic things we need to do around here. So our fourth goal is to come up. Mr. Robert and his team on properties are already going to start working on this. And the next time they get, y'all may have already started or are going to, right? They're going to come up with a list of things we need to do around here. Just basic things like paint, carpet, paint. Cleaning the floors, stripping the floors, waxing them, fixing little things around here. You know, a light that keeps like, I can put a new one in. It's just stuff like that. You know what that takes? Money. Because you can't go to the hardware store and they just give it to you for free. That, like, we actually have to, shocking, I know. We actually have to pay for those things, just like you do at the house. And when we all don't tithe and when we don't meet that number, go back to the first big number, when we don't meet this number this year, guess what happens? All those little things that we need to do around here, just physically, all of them don't get done. Or when we want to reach out and help a family in our area, guess what? That doesn't happen. When we want to establish a relationship with a church planter and help them to become what we already are, guess what? That doesn't happen. So should you give this year? Absolutely. So here's your challenge. I'm going to give you two thoughts to go home with today. You can talk about over dinner as you eat your biscuit and jelly, right, Mr. Sonny? Give you two things to talk about over dinner. Number one, have an honest conversation about tithing in your family. When you go home today for lunch, you can put the kids down or you can talk, if your kids are old enough, have that conversation with them. What does tithing look like in your family? And look, be honest. If it's zero, just admit that it's zero. Just admit, like, you're not doing anything by lying to yourself, right? Just have an honest conversation. If you give 2% or 3% or 25%, whatever it is, just be honest. If that number is not at 10%, here's my encouragement for you. So this is the second part of your challenge. Is that increase your amount you give to the Lord's work here at Valley Grove over time. So if you're at zero, start at 2%, right? That may be $20 or $10. Start there. And once that becomes like that becomes routine, then move it up a couple percentage points and then move it up and then move it up till you're at the baseline, which is 10%. Now, if you're already giving 10%, here's the conversation you need to have. Is there anything we can cut out so that we can give more than we already are? And some of you may come to the conclusion right now at this stage of life, 10% is the most we can give. That's great, right? And some of us may realize, hey, we got a couple percentage points here or there that we could give to the church. Because remember what Paul said. Here's the thing I want to leave you with. Remember what Paul said. The more generously you sow, the more generously you reap. And I want God's greatest and God's best for everyone who's here this morning. Every one of you that are listening to this right now. I want God's greatest blessings on you. And I'm telling you, if you forego tithing, you will not receive God's greatest blessings for your life. So let me encourage you, make that a priority in your life this year. All right, pray with me. God, thank you for the ability and the grace of the moment to be here today. Lord, thank you for allowing us all to wake up and to have breath and life this morning so that we could be here and worship with our fellow believers today. Lord, we pray that you would stir our hearts and stir our lives. Lord, help us to see the need to be generous in all aspects of our life, but especially as it relates to giving to the church. Lord, I pray that you would challenge us to be generous, to give graciously. Lord, because you want to do great things here at Valley Grove. Lord, you want to use us to reach the people in our area of influence, to make an impact in their life. Lord, I pray that we would do that, and we would start by generosity and giving. So Lord, I don't know where we're at this morning, and I don't know what's going on in our hearts and lives. Lord, I pray that you would stir us up to greater commitment and greater following of you today. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. For more information about Valley Grove, visit our Facebook page or website, valleygrovechurch.org.